after that. But the disciples must gather as the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Not just a random list of scattered individuals somewhere who somehow believe in me. Church planting. Praise God for those who have a heart for it. I've seen Calvary Chapel's church planted, taken part in the nurture of them in the Philippines and Russia and Hungary. Of course, one of my favorite church planter pastors is my own son, youngest of two sons, Matthew. He's in Arizona right now, just joined his wife because yesterday was due date for baby number three. Every time the phone rings in our house, like, that's it. Josie's in labor. Let's pray, you know. Hi, this is Heidi. Oh, love you, Heidi, but we're looking for a call from Josie. Matt spent a year, a summer, a big chunk of a year at the castle serving after he went to the Bible college at Twin Peaks. And went on missions outreach into Slovenia and other areas in Eastern Europe, and had such a heart stirred in him for Eastern Europe. And then I'd been teaching a lot at the castle, and while he was there, I was invited over to do a couple of, 2 weeks of conference, actually. And my wife came along with me. Travel's hard for her, but with her baby over there, somehow God strengthened her heart. She came along, and she's only gone overseas, I think, 3 times with me in our 30-some years of ministry, because it's just so hard for her, about kills her. But Matt was engaged to Josie at that time. Yes, they met at Bible college. We do believe God ordains that at times. We're not anti-marriage around here. I want to give the rest of the story since I preached so strongly that day on secure, undistracted devotion to the Lord. But the Lord can add to that partnership of life whenever He wants. And He does that periodically here. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful. I was just rejoicing with Valicia just yesterday over that. And God's led her toward marriage. And that's great. That's wonderful. And so, but Matt and Josie, they sensed God was leading them to a long-range life of ministry and service together. They wanted the Lord to clarify it before Matt went to the castle. And they sought us for prayer, which was kind of neat, to sit and pray with your kids about God's will for their life. And we all felt God's will was that they get married. And yet Matt had signed up for this long-range tour of duty at the castle, and they both agreed that he should fulfill his commitment. So he went over there, and ooh, that was a tearful party. When we went, Matt told us, he said, you know, I don't think Josie has any money, but I've got a little saved. See if she'll come if I buy her a ticket. So Josie came with us to the castle. My wife and I, Josie, and there's Matt. Wow, what a reunion that was. I actually caught that on video camera. That was fun. See how much you love each other? And then on outreaches in Eastern Europe, Josie went on one. And overnight, God gave her a heart for missions in Eastern Europe, just like He had given to Matt. Then Matt came back here. They got married. The first 6 months of their married life, they went back overseas. The castle was so kind, invited them to come and have a honeymoon there. And then they went straight on in, 3 weeks after their marriage, straight on into Hungary, to Baja, in central southern Hungary, where Paul and Jeanette, where Paul was the pastor there. Now Paul's the overseer of the Bible college extension at the castle. And they helped 6 months there, Paul and Jeanette Lang, building up the church there. And they came back over here, did a year internship with Don McClure up at San Jose, did a year internship with Brian Broderson, and then also with us at Living in Christ Ministries. But in their heart, I tell you, was a passion and burden for Hungary. And when Brian Broderson said, Matt, Greg Opeen and I, Calvary Chapel Budapest, think you ought to pray about going and planting a Calvary Chapel in Veszprém, I mean, that took like 30 seconds of prayer, you know. And there was one gal there, a university student, who'd visited Calvary Estragon, where her parents had worshipped, and was just praying, oh, that a Calvary Chapel could come to this dead religious town of Veszprém, a university town a couple hours south of Budapest. And so Matt and Josie went over there, and that single, that one gal has become their translator, Dory. She's just precious. She's just like the part of the family to all of us. And now dozens of others have come to know the Lord and are worshiping there at Calvary Chapel Veszprém. I mean, to me, it just makes perfect sense. This makes perfect sense. I mean, we miss them greatly. And two of our four grandkids, very soon three of our five, will be 8,000 miles away. That's hard. But I tell you, there's something bigger than that. We've got to get the gospel out to all the nations. And it's not just you go, it's you and your family go. You know, you and your loved ones go. And knowing they're where they should be, and to see, I mean, Matt's 27. I think Josie's the same age. She might be a month or two older than Matt. Most of us guys, good for us. We marry older women. They can raise us. You'll see, guys. You think it's a joke. You'll see. Can't tell you how my wife's raised me, even though I'm older than her. We got married. I was 26 going on 18. She was 22 going on 40. What a blessing, though, to see, hey, it's about planting churches. Yeah, evangelism, discipleship, yes, but we've got to plant the church. We've got to bring believers together as the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And yes, it includes every believer worldwide born again by the Spirit, but He gathers them together as visible manifestations locally of the invisible worldwide church. It's about church planting. A lot of folks encourage them, you know, you're coming back, why don't you just stay? Well, the Lord has given them many open doors of opportunity here, including, I know a ministry called Living in Christ Ministries, would love to have them there. But who's going to go there? And if they're willing, oh, man, let's not discourage them. Let's get behind them. Stand with them. Yeah, we're for you. We'll do everything we can to help you. Another that comes to mind is Brad Lambert, someone else I love very much. Count as one of my dearest friends on earth. A few years ago, Brian Broderson, who's a real church planting visionary, I think his middle name is Vision. Love to hang out with him. Love to hear his vision, and it always stirs my vision. Every time I'm with him, now usually at the castle, I come back thinking, man, I'm just not doing enough. I need to get with it, you know. There are many more opportunities out there, many more needs. Anyway, Brian one day said to Brad Lambert, I think the Lord wants Calvary Chapel Vista to plant a Calvary in downtown Oceanside. Well, that's like, what, 20 minutes from, 30 minutes at the most, maybe 20 from Calvary Chapel Vista? And between there and the beach downtown where the homeless and the street people and the druggies and the gangs and all, I mean, there are at least three or four other Calvary Chapels already. But no one was reaching that community down on the beach. And Brian asked Brad to pray about it. And Brad had been a wonderful supporting team pastor for years and kind of thought that's where he'd be. And he was the overseer administrator of the huge, 100 and, well, sometimes 150 member extension campus at Vista. He prayed about it and went. And, oh, what a wonderful church. In fact, just remembered, praise the Lord. This Sunday I'm preaching at Calvary Chapel Living Hope. Brad will be in Austria teaching there for a week at the castle. In fact, Brian Broderson is going to join him there, and they're going to team teach for a week. I'll get to preach at Calvary Chapel Living Hope. I love to go to Calvary Chapel Living Hope. To me, it's the church in one of its purest forms. Jesus had a heart for the broken, the hurt, the outcast, the failure, the sinner, the one busted before God. Calvary Chapel Living Hope. What a great name for a church when you're ministering in a hopeless part of a community. And Brad's been ministering there now a few years. And what a sweet, healthy fellowship with wonderful leaders and servants. But it's church planting. It's not just, hey, we got to get down there on the beach and do a little evangelism. Praise God for anybody who wants to do that. I'm not saying that's bad. But are they going to get discipled if they respond? And if they are getting discipled, who's going to gather them as the church? I mean, that's the book of Acts. It's critical that we have that kind of a vision. The divine model for the church, need to look to the book of Acts. There we'll see its patterns recounted, then B, its expansion related to making disciples, C, its expansion related to church planting, and then D, its essence seen in new wine and new wineskins. Let's look at this issue. New wine, new wineskins. Luke 5. Why are we going to Luke when we said that the divine model is Acts? Because there's a few verses here in Luke that give an interesting description of what God was going to demonstrate in Acts. These verses we're going to read in Luke 5, they're a little concise parable picture of what God wanted to explode in the book of Acts. The essence of what you see in Acts is new wine in new wineskins. Luke 5, 36. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved, the contents and the container. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better, or the old is good enough. What a parable. Speaks of the essence of what the church is. New wine, new wineskins. Jesus did not come to pour his new wine into old wineskins. What was the new wine Jesus came to pour out? Life in the Spirit of God. Born again of the Spirit, life in the Spirit. Like a heavenly wine, new life from above. He didn't come to offer that to the Pharisees and Sadducees to build into their Judaism, their legalistic religion, their man-centered, human resource approach to the commands and laws of God. He came to bring new wine, and he was going to have a new wineskin to pour it into. There was an old wine, the law, an old wineskin, Israel, Judaism, their understanding and application of the law by their best effort. Jesus didn't come to say, okay, that's fine, just add this to it. Well, you can tell that would have burst the wineskins. Just being around Jesus blew their minds. Can you imagine them trying to adopt and adapt what he was teaching to where they were? They were in a head-on collision. The church is new wine in new wineskins. The book of Acts. The old covenant of law in the wineskin of Judaism, with the dead letter of the law, self-righteous Pharisees, and the compromising anything goes liberal Sadducees. The Lord's life and message was not going to be poured out there. In many ways, the new wine and new wineskin is a parable of all kind of church revival movements for the last 2,000 years. It surely fits the Calvary Chapel movement. It's like new wine and new wineskins. I came through Dallas Seminary, 5 years there, getting a good, you know, biblical, dispensational theological education. At times, some of it was light and life and joy and edification. Other times, it was kind of dead religion like Judaism. Some of it was because of me, some because of the system. Some good truth there, some reality, but it was like old wine. Well, I remember that night, 1971, my wife and I walk into that little country church on the edge of town, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Man, 10 minutes in there burst my wineskin. I couldn't just go in there and grab my hymnal. What page is it? And let me get the beat. And, you know, I'm a pastor. I can handle any kind of church meeting. Man, 10 minutes. There I was again, crying. My heart was broken. Smashed in tender humility. I never saw people worship like that. I'd seen two kinds of worship. By the letter, you know. Come on now, sing harder. Okay. I knew how to do that. And I'd seen the other. People bouncing off the rafters. Everyone singing a different song, Woo! I understood both of those, and neither one drew my heart, really. But I mean like that. It's like I wanted to say, oh, that's what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. I always wondered about that verse. It was so simple. It was so real. The Lord was so obviously the object of it and the motivator in it. Literally, just burst my wineskin, the wineskin of my life, the container that I walked in, my thinking, my perspective, how I was committed, where I was headed. Just busted it. Because I wanted to take in that new wine. Then Pastor Chuck got up and taught. My word. I think that night he taught nearly an hour and 45 minutes. He covered two and a half chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Verse by verse. Sometimes phrase by phrase. Nobody moved. Everybody hung on every word. Man. I wanted to go home and change the name of our church. We called ourselves Calvary Bible Church, I'm going to go home and change it to something else, Calvary Sermonette Church or something, Oh, I was so convicted, yes. Are people praying around the clock at Costa Mesa? I don't know if it's happening at this moment. I know through much of the history of that church that was the case. I know in Charles Spurgeon's ministry that was the case. Even 200 people joining to pray in the basement every time he preached through the entire message. Powerful. Any of you read Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, that book that's kind of circulating around? There's another testimony of the same kind of prayer. People praying around the clock. A downtown in Brooklyn, New York, inner city church. Pastor Jim Cimbala, praise God for the simple approach the life and ministry he received from the Lord. It's new wine. It busts the wineskins. That's what's happening in Acts. Judaism shattered, as it were, before the flow of new wine from heaven, life in the Spirit. And we've looked at it, not weird, not crazy, just real and powerful and relentless and marching on. New wine in new wineskins. We were having a meeting at one of the pastors' conferences, the kind of pastoral planning team, the kind of the first generation Calvary pastors, and then some of us from the administration here and leadership were meeting, talking about missions and church planting overseas. It was a couple of years ago. Don McClure actually was moderating the meeting. Pastor Chuck sat in for half of it. It was right downstairs. It was a wonderful time. A bunch of the guys were Mike McIntosh, Jeff Johnson, and on and on. And it was a great time. And sitting there was a evangelical leader from overseas in Europe. More out of the old wineskin traditional church. But had a heart developing for the Calvary Chapels. This strange new thing, And someone asked him, what do you think we could do to see overseas works multiply and progress more effectively than now? And this guy in his heavy European accent, I won't locate where, I want you guessing who he is. Neat guy, and we love him. I love him. But he said, here's what he said. Forget how he said it. He said, I think things would go much better if you would get in there and identify with the existing church and work more in cooperation with him. Then you just see explosions in these Calvary chapels. And a silence fell over the room. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't think he understands what God's doing in the Calvary chapels. And it was quiet for a while, and Don McClure said, well, it's been silent for 30 seconds. I always take that as my indication I'm to speak. And we all laughed too, you know. And he had a good word to say. He said, well, you know, brother, we appreciate that. And we love the church that exists over there. We're not anti-Anglican church or anti any already established church. If they're committed to the word and true of the gospel, we're not anti, but God's just doing a different thing among us. And that kind of provoked me and stirred me. I said, you know, what comes to my mind, Don, is the parable of the new wine and new wineskins. You know, and those are old wineskins. And if God's using them still in any way, praise God. But the Calvary Chapel, what God's doing, you can't pour it in. The thing shatters. People revolt. People go crazy. What are you doing? We never did it that way. You know. But you know, the Lord has a way of bringing new wine into new wineskins. In our denominational churches, some are finding a measure of life and real wine from heaven, real life in Christ. Too many, they're the Pharisees of the day, the legalists. By the numbers, you can do it. Too many are like the Pharisees, I mean the Sadducees, they're opposites, they're antagonists, the liberals. They don't even believe in the word, the cross, or the blood of Christ. Oh, how we need, all around the world, including America, new wine poured out in new wineskins. New bodies birthed by a new work of the Spirit of God. People say, you know, to me, what do you think are the great opportunities in ministry this day? I'll tell you what I think are the greatest opportunities. Pray to go out somewhere and start a whole new work. There's no greater opportunity for new wine to be poured in a new wineskin than that. I've pastored two churches those 25 years. One started in our living room. One started, and then we were brought into it a year later after they lost their pastor. God did wonderful things in both, but I'll tell you, there was nothing like watching it start from the fresh zero beginning and just let God pour out the wine the way He wanted and shape the skin to hold it the way He wanted. Really fits the gospel. Really fits the new covenant. The new covenant of grace. That's what the Lord wanted to bring. Jeremiah 31. The new covenant of grace. Israel had the old covenant of law, and it was becoming death and deadness to all around them. Some let the law drive them to the hope of Messiah. So many became self-sufficient in measuring themselves before the law. But the law was given to drive us to the new covenant of grace, Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. The new covenant of grace, in contrast to the old covenant of law. The new covenant of grace, including forgiveness of sins. But it's more than that. Also, intimacy with God. They all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And not only forgiveness and opportunity to grow in closeness with the Lord, but an internal work of God changing us from the inside out. Verse 33. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and they shall be my people. I'll be their God, they shall be my people. The new covenant. Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10 says that new covenant is inaugurated for you and me now. That is the covenant, the arrangement, how the church lives, grace. Jesus said, Luke 22:20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We've been studying it Sunday nights in 2 Corinthians. We're new covenant servants. We serve not by the letter, but by the Spirit. That's critical because the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. The new wine of heaven gives life to people. New wine and new wineskins. That's the divine model for the church. That's what's demonstrated in Acts. And how it relates to new and old covenant and all that. We'll have a chance, if the Lord keeps you around here, the third or fourth semester, that's what the entire semester Growing in the Grace of God class is all about. The divine model for the church. That's what we need. We've got so many human models. That lady, one of, you know, dear gal, I don't know why she is on, called a pastor in that church. And not that I don't think women can't be used mightily of God in the church. Totally. Like many gals, I know many gals used far beyond any pastors I know. Just a matter of what is your role and what is your calling, and God has this for you and that for the other. But this gal, sad thing, she wanted to talk about the church, and what did she have to say? I learned there are four kinds of churches. I forget the two. They were so memorable. But the first was a mom and pop. It was like grocery stores, you know? It's a mom and pop church. I mean, a mom and pop church, yeah, and who knows what, you know? Maybe a big independent one, maybe a chain, and, you know, then this giant international corporation church. I mean, where do you get that? You get that from the mind of man. You don't get that from the Word of God. You want to know what the church is? Here it is in Acts. And its essence is new wine in new wineskin. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you for new wine. Thank you for new wineskins. Thank you for the new wine of life in Christ by the Holy Spirit. New wineskins, the church of Jesus Christ. Local churches under the headship of Christ. Thank you for new wine and new wineskins. Give us a vision of that in our ministries. Lord, may existing ministries, some maybe you've lost the vision of that, be rekindled again. To be made soft, pliant, humble, flexible. Church wineskins, filled again, afresh and anew, with life from above, abundant life in Jesus Christ. Lord, work this way among us, even around the world, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.